This is Nightline. Tonight, squatters.
I own this house.
It doesn't matter.
The shocking situation where property owners find strangers living in their homes with no way to get them out.
I asked her what she was doing here, and she said, well, I rented this property yesterday.
One woman's nightmare, spending $40,000 to repair the damage.
The house was in shambles.
And meet the squatter hunter, determined to flush out unwanted guests.
My goal right now today is to get you out of this house.
Plus, Kathy Griffin.
I didn't exactly take a hiatus. I was investigated by two agencies within the Department of Justice.
The audacious comic is back and not afraid to lean into what got her, as she says, canceled.
Tarrytown, New York. It's not lost on me that you're known for the Headless Horseman, and I'm known for Headless Trump.
Out on her My Life on the PTSD list. Tour after hardships and health scares, and the A-list celeb she's settled her beef with
is when someone I've been giving the business to finally goes, okay, you're just kidding around.
And remembering Senator Joe Lieberman.
Nightline, we'll be right back.
Thanks for joining us. Tonight, imagine breaking and entering into a home, living there like you own the place, and then having the law protect you. Well, that's what some homeowners say they've come up against when they find squatters living, well, in their living rooms. Here's ABC's Jacqueline Lee.
Owning an extra home was just my way of getting a little bit of extra income for my retirement.
Patty Peoples never imagined that buying two small investment properties near her home would turn into such a colossal nightmare.
Oh my gosh. I mean, what a year this had been. Literally 1 year ago this time, the house was in shambles.
I can see that they've changed the lock on the front door. How is that not breaking and entering?
The 61-year-old from Jacksonville, Florida, became a victim of squatters, a maddening situation that cost her more than $40,000 and put her in danger.
I thought, you know, if I put the key in the door, then I don't know what's waiting on the other side.
It was last year when Peoples put one of her houses on the market. It sat empty for less than a month before two strangers broke in, according to Jacksonville police, and staked their claim, taking over.
I called 911, and as I'm describing to the officer that there may be somebody that had broken and entered into my house, out walks a young woman, and she said, well, I rented this property yesterday. It only got worse.
I own this house.
It doesn't matter. Yes.
Tensions escalating in this heated altercation the very next day. After Peoples entered her home and asked the strangers to leave.
Excuse me. If you touch me again,
I have every right to be in this house.
You don't have every right to be in the house at all.
I do, ma'am.
You do not. You do not.
I'm not touching you.
You are touching me.
And this lady is touching me.
No, we're blocking you from coming in the house.
You are.
God it.
Believe it or not, the police officer told me, I will arrest you if you do this again. They have the right to privacy. I cannot tell you the frustration I felt at this point.
According to this police report obtained by ABC News, the squatters had a fabricated lease and were repeat offenders. To people's surprise, police told her there was little they could do.
The police gave me the really devastating news was that this was not a crime, that this had to be managed in civil court.
People's ordeal is part of a rampant squatter crisis affecting residents from state to state.
As you're trying to bring more awareness to the laws that you think need to change.
If a squatter enters a home illegally, never had a legal right to be there, they should be prosecuted as criminals, criminal trespass. If they present a fake lease, it should be fraud.
When someone is in a property, they have what is called adverse possession. They take that property on as their own, and they do have certain legal rights. We would think it's trespassing, but to have to be evicted through the court process.
The process took several weeks. So all total, it was 36 days before the squatters were ejected.
It is egregious what these people are getting away with through the current legislation.
After learning about her ordeal, Representative Kevin Steele and State Senator Keith Perry said enough is enough. Perry introducing a new law to protect homeowners, giving police the right to immediately arrest squatters and criminally charge any trespasser with a felony for any intentional damage. While falsifying a lease carries a misdemeanor charge. And if someone tries to sell your property, it's a first-degree felony. Patty Peoples sharing her story in front of lawmakers.
The police have no power. The homeowner has no power. The only one with power in this situation are the squatters.
And earlier this month, the bill receiving unanimous bipartisan support. And just today, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signing it into law.
We are in the state of Florida ending the squatter scam once and for all.
It goes into effect on July 1st.
This bill really communicated that this is a people's rights bill. It is a fairness bill.
When you own property, it is very disheartening to know that you have to go through a long legal process that is not only long in its duration, but also can be very expensive. The reality is that unfortunately squatters are taking advantage of certain laws that are in their favor.
While Florida is taking action, the squatter crisis in other states has no end in sight, including Texas.
Time and time again, we told you about homeowners fighting to get their property back after squatters moved in. Well, now it appears it's happened once again.
And in New York, a squatter standoff caught on camera by our station WABC.
You shouldn't be trying to steal my house. Yes, you are.
There's a man sleeping right there.
Get out of my house.
Adele Andaloro says she inherited this New York City house, but a group of people moved in and changed the locks. The NYPD called in, arresting one man.
Why is it that I have to leave and he doesn't have to leave?
Because technically he can't be kicked out. We need to go to court.
But this man, forcing his way back inside, was allowed to stay.
Call the police again.
The man telling WABC investigative reporter Dan Krauth he signed a lease in October, though he showed no proof.
So how does this all end then? When do you leave?
The way it ends is either she pays me my money that I put into the house, pay me the money, and I'll leave. Or send me to court, and we deal with the judge in court.
In New York City, squatters have tenant rights after 30 days, making this a landlord-tenant dispute. So when Adele had the locks changed again...
You're getting arrested right now?
Being arrested.
For what?
For being in my own home.
Police took her away in handcuffs for unlawful eviction. The charges against Andaloro have since been dropped.
We're keeping track of it on our cell phones. We're taking video. We're taking pictures.
With few protections for homeowners, infuriated residents in this upscale Los Angeles neighborhood forming a neighborhood watch.
You said squatters are treating this like their neighborhood.
It's a constant problem. I've lived here since 1991. It's a very different vibe now. For me, it's triggering. I don't feel safe.
What is your worst fear?
Well, that this will escalate and if more crime could be invited into that house, it could turn into a drug den.
One squatting incident in New York has even turned into a murder investigation.
Two suspected squatters on the run for a murder in Manhattan have been arrested in Pennsylvania.
According to the NYPD, 52-year-old Nadia Vitales came upon two squatters living in her late mother's vacant apartment, and she ended up dead. Vitale's body found stuffed in a duffel bag. Meanwhile in L.A., and gaining a lot of notoriety, is Flash Shelton, a man who calls himself the squatter hunter.
Squatters are not homeless people. Squatters are self-entitled, criminal-type people that don't care how their lives are affecting others.
He's out squatting the squatters. He recently helped an elderly widow remove a squatter from her multi-million-dollar home in the Hollywood Hills and caught it all on camera.
So you came to the house and confronted him here in the driveway?
That's correct.
I understand you've been squatting at this residence?
No.
No?
Yeah, I got in between him and the house and I just said, I understand you've been squatting in this residence. And he started to tell me he had a lease. My goal right now today is to get you out of this house. I actually followed him in, all the way in. We just sat down and I talked to him for like an hour and a half.
For Flash, a former handyman, this work is personal. When a squatter took over his mother's house, he moved in with the squatter until they left.
I own a home, and you're telling me someone can just come in and set up shop and they don't have to leave?
Yeah, I've had many cases where the people are just on vacation. You call the police and they just say, look, I live here, and you have a civil matter on your hands.
The police can't do anything about it.
Police can't do anything about it.
Back in Florida, Patty has learned a thing or two from her harrowing journey.
They actually go to open houses as a legitimate buyer or renter and are scoping out the property. It's important to post no trespassing signs all over your property. The second thing is that there exist non-drillable locks. Many of these squatters drill out the deadbolt on your front door. Don't do like I did. Don't approach the squatters.
While her experience has left her feeling vulnerable, Peoples is grateful homeowners like her are now protected under the law.
The fight is absolutely not done yet. It must be taken to every state. And if some sort of federal legislation can be crafted, I think that would be the best solution of all.
Our thanks to Jacqueline. And when we return, Kathy Griffin is back, bolder than ever. The dating show she says she'd be perfect for.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back. As you know, Kathy Griffin is a two-time Emmy and Grammy award-winning comedian who has been a bit of a lightning rod in Hollywood for decades. Kathy, hello.
It's true. I turned out to be a lightning rod. I started out just making fun of the Kardashians, and then I took a photo which upset some people, including the former administration who shall go unnamed.
I gotcha. All right, you've taken a six-year hiatus from touring.
Hold on. I didn't exactly take a hiatus. I was blacklisted by my own industry. I was put on the no-fly list. I was investigated by two agencies within the Department of Justice, and they were seriously considering charging me with conspiracy to assassinate the president of the United States. That will make you take a hiatus.
Well, there's that. The details, details. But the point is, you're back.
I'm back.
Touring. It's a big deal. And you call it My Life on the PTSD List, obviously hearkening back to your Emmy Award-winning show on Life on the D-List.
Thank you.
What's it like being back on the road and being greeted by protesters?
Oh, my gosh. I had a show Sunday night in Huntington, New York. And the Trumpers are still mad at me about the picture. And so they organized a whole caravan, and they had a bobblehead of a red wig, so they had me in effigy. Mm. And then I'm a traitor, and blah, blah, blah. Mm. And yet the show is sold out, and it was hatred on the outside, and on the inside, inclusive, laughter, love. They were on their feet at the end, and it's just been heaven to be back at work.
So I have a little clip from your Tarrytown showing, so let's take a look.
Tarrytown, New York. I just want to say that it's not lost on me that you're known for the Headless Horseman, and I'm known for Headless Trump.
clearly unafraid to lean into what got you, quote unquote, canceled.
I mean, look, the great Jane Fonda said, this is going to be on your tombstone, kid. And so now I'm just used to being asked about it, and I talk about it, because at least it was 6.5 years ago.
How do you turn your trauma into comedy?
You know, I have been diagnosed with PTSD, which I feel self-conscious about saying, because I thought it was just for combat veterans. And I think it was a combo of the Trump thing was really hard. I was out of work. I became addicted to prescription pills. I tried to take my life. I was on a 5150 cycle for 3 days. I got sober. Then I got lung cancer. That's why my voice is a bit altered. They took out half my left lung, but I was injured during the surgery. So I'll get another surgery in June. And then I just got divorced at the tender age of 63. Oh, I would like to be the Golden Bachelorette. If anyone is
you would be
listening,
an awesome Golden
who would like a rose?
You would keep us all laughing
yes,
through the entire
thank you.
Thing.
We need that.
But that's a lot of trauma. So
it
how
is.
Do you turn all of that tea into comedy? In the PTSD format of it all.
Because you have to. I learned that at the darkest of times, when you're at your lowest, find the humor. Somehow flip it around. When I'm at the oncologist's office, and if they say one more time, Miss Gifford, Miss Kathy Lee Gifford, your point. I mean, I'm not going to yell at the oncologist. It's funny. I just laugh.
Sure.
So I talk about addiction. I talk about recovery. I talk about the stuff that I find funny within that world. Because I think you've got to find the humor in every situation if you can. But it's what got me through.
Yeah, it's serious.
Yeah.
And yet, a couple of years ago, we sat down and talked about all those things, about your struggles with prescription pills and your struggle with cancer.
I think one of the reasons I actually wasn't acknowledging that I was a serious drug addict is because I thought, I don't even drink. Who, big deal. I take a couple pills now and again. Who doesn't? And also, my age was a big part of it. I mean, who bottoms out and tries to take their life at 59?
Yeah. How are you now on this side of that struggle?
I'm so glad to be working. First of all, I have a team of people trying to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. So you should see the stuff that I do. I do acupuncture. Does it work? I don't know. I do cupping. I get those circles on my back. I do a breathing class because apparently I don't know how to breathe. I do whatever it takes. But honestly, being back to work has been the most therapeutic thing. I just missed making people laugh.
You talk about how that's a high for you, that is the thing that you've always valued more than anything is to make people laugh.
It's the best. I have the greatest job in the world.
And so we follow you on TikTok, and you posted something with Paris Hilton's birthday party.
Yes.
You actually apologized and made up over your beef with Demi Lovato?
It was like a love fest, but I just want to say, Debbie and I made up. Yes, I have had a 10-year beef with Debbie. I call her Debbie just because it drives her and her fans nuts. And she came at me on Twitter. I went at her. Her fan army came at me. But look, she's a young girl. She's beautiful. She's got the world by the tail. She's an amazing singer. So I'm at Paris's birthday party. I know, that's weird, too.
You're an A-lister now.
I had an A-list moment, but I wasn't allowed in the house. Paris was smart enough to keep me in the yard because I probably would have stolen something. And then accused Debbie. So I saw Demi Lovato, and I just looked at her, and I said, can we finally make up? And she smiled, and we hugged. So as a comic, honestly, that's incredibly gratifying for me, is when someone I've been giving the business to finally goes, okay, you're just kidding around.
That's amazing. This is the newer, kinder, gentler Kathy Griffin.
Well, everybody. Easy. Nobody's really safe in my live shows. I mean, you know, no one knows what happens in that room.
It's always great to see you.
You too.
And if you want to catch her on My Life on the PTSD list. It's touring across North America, and tickets are available now at kathygriffin.com. We'll be right back.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC. Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 Central on ABC.
And finally tonight, remembering Senator Joe Lieberman. His career was defined by breaking barriers and breaking down party lines. Lieberman was tapped by Al Gore to be his running mate. Election night in 2000 left him roughly 500 contested votes shy of becoming America's first Jewish vice president. Lieberman served four terms in the Senate, representing his home state of Connecticut, balancing a liberal outlook on domestic issues with a hawkish stance on foreign policy. He forged strong alliances on both sides of the aisle, including friendships with Republicans Lindsey Graham and John McCain. His family saying he passed away after complications from a fall, praising his love of God, family, and America. Joe Lieberman was 82. He'll be missed. That's Nightline. You can watch all of our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here same time tomorrow. Thanks for staying up with us. Good night, America.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 Central on ABC.